and welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages right across the world. I'm Giselle Hannah. An intense 12-day conflict between Israel and Iran erupted on the 13th of June this year after Israel launched airstrikes on Iranian military and nuclear sites, killing key nuclear scientists and military commanders. On the 27th of June, the Northeast Los Angeles Alliance for Democracy sponsored an online panel on how US activists can take a principled stand against the violations of human rights by all the powers involved and defence progressive, life-affirming forces inside Iran, the Middle East, and the US. Today's show features one of those speakers on that panel, Elahi Amani. She's the chair of Women's Intercultural Network and based at California State University. She's also the editor of the women's section of the monthly journal Peacemark, a publication of human rights activists in Iran.
I'm first going to provide the history and context of this war between Iran and Israel, and then a feminist perspective on this war, which as of today we all know that we are all listening to news, and as of today, we know that we have a fragile ceasefire. And as I heard from Iran, family and friends of those who lost their loved ones are busy kind of with memorials and other things. And I'm sure it's the same in Israel too, with the civilian who lost their lives in Iranian attack to Israel. So I should start by saying that the large-scale Israeli assault on Iran on June 13, 2025, and escalating hostilities between Israel and Iran, from proxy conflicts, which we all heard about it in the news, to open warfare, deeply alarmed many Iranian citizens who reacted with concern, fear, and uncertainty. This escalation must be understood within the broader historical context of decade-long hostilities between the two nations. Following the establishment of the formal diplomatic relations in 1950, Iran under the Pahlavi monarchy maintained a pragmatic relationship with Israel. This dynamic shifted dramatically after the 1979, when the newly established Islamic Republic of Iran adopted a confrontation stance toward Israel, enshrining anti-Zionism as a cornerstone of its foreign policy. From the 1980s onward, Iran's regional strategy emphasized proxy warfare, and same as Israel, including support for Hezbollah in Lebanon and Palestinian factions such as Hamas. Israel also engaged in covert operation and sabotage, transforming the bilateral relationship from a tense but cold peace into one marked with open hostility. The period from the early 2000 to 2020 witnessed an intensification of what has been termed as shadow war, quote-unquote shadow war, characterized by cyber attacks, targeted assassination by Israel, including of Iranian nuclear scientists, and act of sabotage. Iranian aligned militia in turn launched attacks on Israel interests throughout the region. This covert and indirect warfare culminated in a more direct hostilities during 2023 and 2024, particularly following the event of October 7, 2023, when Hamas launched a large-scale attack on Israel, killing approximately 1,200 people and taking 200 hostages, which we know that the massive Israeli attack on Palestinians in Gaza account for more than 50,000 civilian death up to now. The ensuing months saw a marked escalation. February 14, 2024, an Israeli sabotage operation reported caused explosion on an Israeli gas pipeline. April 1, 2024, Israel bombed Iran consulate in Damascus, killing two Iranian generals. April 14, 2024, Iran retaliated with over 300 drones and missiles, most were intercepted. April 19, 2024, a suspected Israeli airstrike targeted Iranian air defense system. July 31, 2024, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh was killed in an Israeli airstrike in Tehran. October 2024, Iran launched missiles at Israel, prompting further Israeli retaliation strikes. And finally, direct military confrontation and war in June 2025. On June 13, 2025, Israel launched what is widely regarded as the most extensive direct assault on Iran in modern history. Based on prevailing interpretation of international law, Israel's actions constitute a violation of UN Charter, which prohibits the use of force against another state's sovereignty, except in case of imminent threat or under Security Council authorization. Legal scholars argue that the attack fails to meet the strict criteria of anticipatory self-defense, rendering it unlawful under international law. Moreover, while this confrontation can be analyzed through the lenses of so-called an unequal war, both Iran and Israel are targeting of civilian infrastructure, as evidenced by repeated airstrikes on densely populated areas, raise serious concerns regarding violation of international humanitarian laws. As of June 24th, human rights activists in Iran, Herana, reported over 900 people killed, civilian people killed. Iranian health ministry stated that more than 4,000 people have been wounded by Israeli strike. As of June 24, same date, Iran ballistic missiles attack on Israel resulted in the death of 28 people, all but one whom were civilian. The Israeli Ministry of Health reported 3,461 hospitalization, including two fatalities in the hospital as of June 25, 2025. To take innocent lives is not justice. Defense of honor, it's indeed a moral wound to all humanity. Both governments have exhibited consistent disregard for international humanitarian norms, with actions that likely constitute grave violation of human rights and international humanitarian law. The use of this proportionate force, targeting of non-combatant, and rhetoric suggesting collective punishment all contribute to the ongoing humanitarian crisis. While this is a highly asymmetrical conflict, military and geopolitically, it is civilian in both Iran and Israel who bear the brunt of devastation. War spares no one, neither in Tehran nor in Haifa. It represents neither justice nor mercy, only destruction. Howard Zinn was right when he said, quote, "There is no flag large enough to cover the shame of killing innocent people," unquote. In providing a context regarding the situation in Islamic Republic of Iran, I should mention that the Islamic Republic of Iran stands at a critical juncture, facing an unprecedented crisis of legitimacy. Over the past 46 years, the Iranian people have endured persistent human rights violation, execution, and widespread repression. Today, these issues are compounded by deepening poverty, economic mismanagement, and lack of political will to address the social, economic, and political demand of the population. As a result, public trust in the regime has eroded to historical low, with many shifting from support to open opposition. Declining electoral participation in recent parliamentary election in 2024 exemplify the regime waning legitimacy. Voter turnout reached only 41% nationwide and fell below 25% in Tehran, marking a record low even after authorities extended voting hours and pressured citizens to participate. Independent monitors suggest actual turnout may have been even lower. This disengagement reflects a widespread belief that elections lack fairness, especially following the mass disqualification of reformist and moderate candidates by the Guardian Council. Also, mass protests and state repression. I should mention that since 2010, Iran has witnessed successive waves of nationwide protests in 2017 and 18 to 19, and most notably during the 2022 to 2023 Women Life Freedom Uprising, sparked by the killing of Jina Mahsa Amini. These demonstrations involving millions across more than 150 cities have been met with severe repression. According to Hrana Human Rights Activist News Agency, a minimum of 522 protesters killed and more than 20,000 arrested. The scale and persistence of these protests, which includes significant participation from women, youth, particularly Gen Z, ethnic minority, and labor union, underscore a deep rejection of regime's legitimacy. In terms of gender apartheid and suppression of women's rights, the enforcement of mandatory hijab laws and broader gender-based discrimination remain central source of public alienation, according to a 2020 Gamin survey. It's a surveying agency focusing on Iran. 75% of Iranians oppose compulsory veiling. Women are systematically excluded from serving as judges and face unequal rights in family law and are subjected to state violence and morality policing. Such policies have intensified the regime's disconnect from women and the younger generations. Corruption and economic mismanagement. I should say that Iran's economic crisis is marked by over 40% annual inflation and food prices rising more than 60% year over year. More than 30% of Iranians now live below the poverty line. The country ranked 149 out of 180 on Transparency International 2023 Corruption Perception Index, highlighting pervasive elite corruption. The government's failure to address economic hardship and corruption has fueled widespread public disillusionment. In terms of suppression of freedom and international isolation, Iran is classified as quote-unquote not free by Freedom House 2024. And of course, we know that these reports have their own biases too, but still, with extremely low score for political rights and civil liberties. The country ranks among the world's most repressive on internet and press freedom, with journalists routinely imprisoned, tortured, and exiled. These restrictions on free expression and association further erode public trust and limit peaceful avenues for dissident. Exile of intellectual and youth migration is happening in a wider scale. Iran suffers from one of the most world's highest rate of educated migration, with an estimated 180,000 professionals leaving annually. Surveying indicate that only 22% of Iranians identify as religious and fewer than 20% support the current theocratic system. The ongoing brain drain reflects a profound crisis of confidence in the country's future, particularly among its youths and intellectuals. The Islamic Republic of Iran also faces a profound multifaceted legitimacy crisis rooted in political repression, economic decline, gender justice, injustice, and systematic corruption. Statistical evidence and sustained mass mobilization demonstrate that the regime no longer enjoys the support or consent of large segments of Iranian population, particularly among women, youth, and the middle class. This crisis challenged the very foundation of a state's authority and underscored the urgent need for comprehensive reform. And The least reported is the Iranian authority are taking advantage. This is happening right now during this really disastrous war between Iran and Israel. And while we have a fragile ceasefire right now, Iranian authorities are taking advantage of this fragile ceasefire with Israel to intensify an internal security crackdown across the country with mass arrest and execution. This is happening in the last particularly 3-4 days. Iranian media announced yesterday on Thursday that Iran's security forces have arrested more than 700 people on political and security charges since the start of the war. Now, I want to share some of the resistance and the voice of civil society and anti-war sentiment inside Iran. The Iranian people, particularly women and youth, have demonstrated remarkable resilience and agency in the face of political repression and external conflict. Despite operating under severe constraint and double binds, Iranian civil society has remained highly engaged, expressing creative forms of resistance and issuing numerous statements opposing both initiated Israeli war and the policies of Islamic Republic of Iran. This engagement has intensified in recent days, culminating in a surge of anti-war activism and solidarity during the recent escalation of conflict with Israel. Iranian Nobel Peace Laureate Narges Mohammadi has called upon activists to unite in demanding ceasefire between Iran and Israel. In a recent exclusive message to Time, Narges Mohammadi highlighted the devastating impact of the conflict, which has displaced millions and inflicted further damage on Iran's critical infrastructure, exacerbating an already dire economic crisis. Narges Mohammadi herself has been compelled to leave Tehran when President Trump calls on Tehran, a city with 10 million people and close to 6 million in metropolitan area of Tehran, to be immediately evacuated. Also, in a joint statement, two Nobel Peace Laureate and two internationally acclaimed film directors have also called for an immediate cessation of hostility and a ceasefire between Israel and Iran, underscoring the urgent need for peace and dialogue. Civil society resistance is further exemplified by statement from Iranian political prisoners. Seven women currently detained in Tehran's notorious Evin prison, which, by the way, since Israeli one of the missiles of Israeli attacked Evin prison. Now, I saw this morning a video clip that maybe more tens of buses are lining up to move the prisoners in Evin prison to other prisoners that they don't have any room or facility doesn't allow for keeping them. Many families haven't heard for the last 2-3 days from their loved one in a prison, in Evin or other prisoners. So I go back to civil society resistance is further exemplified by a statement from Iranian political prisoner. Seven women currently detained in Tehran notorious Evin prison have issued two separate declaration statements calling for an end to war, denouncing both Israeli military aggression and the authoritarianism of Islamic Republic of Iran. These statements emphasize that genuine liberation for Iranian can only achieve through grassroots mobilization and social movement rather than foreign intervention. One statement signed by Rehane Ansari, Sakineh Parvaneh, Verishe Moradi, and Golrokh Irai categorically rejected reliance on external powers and condemned the recent attacks, Israeli attack, which have resulted in civilian casualties and infrastructure destruction. Another statement by Anishe Asadullahi, Nahid Khodanju, and Nasreen Javadi addresses the Iranian government directly, asserting that wars invariably harm ordinary people, those who bear no responsibility for their inception. Despite this, their incarceration, these women expressed solidarity with the broader society and urged collective resistance to war. A coalition of labor unions and social organizations across Iran has issued a comprehensive joint statement titled Joint Statement of Labor and Social Organizations Against War and the Current Dangerous Crisis. The declaration condemned both Israeli and Iranian military action, particularly those targeting civilian, and denounced the pursuit of use of weapons of mass destruction. The statements articulate a long-standing demand for peace and welfare. The statement highlights, quote, "For years we have shouted no to war, no to killing, we want lasting welfare, but the regime continues its path on destruction, chasing nuclear weapons under the slogan of wiping out Israel and fighting the so-called Great Satan, America." This hellish situation is not accidental. It has been imposed on our society. The signature that comprising nurses, truck drivers, oil workers, teachers, retirees, and children rights defendants also highlights the regime intensification of internal repression under the pretext of war, including arrest, execution, and accusation of espionage. Also, the Coordinating Council of Iranian Teacher Trade Association issued another statement very similar to the language of the previous statements that I shared with you. The Iranian Writer Association has condemned also Israel's blatant aggression against Iranian territory and emphasized the vital role of writers and intellectuals in amplifying independent voices and supporting freedom movements. The association statement framed the conflict as a struggle between two oppressive regimes, warning that ongoing violence not only causes civilian casualty, but also derail efforts towards freedom and equality in Iran. Other women's and grassroots organizations also issued various statements. I just skipped part of that, but if you want, I can share it with you later. The collective action of independent Iranian women that comprises of 23 women organizations in Iranian diaspora in a statement emphasized, quote, "We are firmly opposed to the excessive expansion of militarism, both nuclear and non-nuclear, in Iran and in the world. In times of war and occupation, women, I know it's referring to Palestine. Women are faced with a double violence, not only from bombs and bullets, but from the very solution that have already marginalized their lives. War places a greater economic, psychological, and caregiving burden on women. It reduces access to vital resources for mothers, nurses, and survivors. And at the same time, with increasing militarization, it makes the social space more masculine, authoritarian, and oppressive. In such economic, political, sexual, and racial condition, women's bodies are once again turned into the battlefields. These policies are not used for security, but for appropriation of global resources by the small minority and control over the lives of majority of the people. While substantial segment of Iranian civil society inside Iran and also Iranian in diaspora oppose the war, conservative elements, such as the daily newspaper Kayhan in Iran, have advocated for continuation of hostility until, quote, complete destruction of Israel, unquote, as reflected in a recent front page editorial. Conversely, Reza Pahlavi, the exiled son of the former Shah of Iran, has faced widespread criticism for expressing support vividly and not only one time, repeatedly, for Israel bombing of Iranian cities. Independent media and artists in Iran have consistently played a crucial role in exposing misinformation propaganda by both Iranian regime and foreign powers, including Israel and United States. Their efforts contribute to a more nuanced understanding of the conflict and reinforce the importance of independent critical voices in times of honor.
That was Elahi Amani, chair of Women's Intercultural Network, based at California State University and the editor of the women's section of the monthly journal Peacemark, a publication of human rights activists in Iran. And that's all we've got time for on today's program. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Special thanks to the Community Radio Network for distributing the show. If you want to get in touch with the producers of the show, you can write to us at accentofwomen@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Giselle Hannah, and I look forward to your company again next week.